All right, let's start that third and final hour. I am Jim Rohn. Welcome to the program. Hope you've been listening. If not, nice to have you on board. Coming off an amazing weekend. The show is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You want to see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, we start hour number three. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk some Packer football. I'll be joined by a tight end for the Packers, Mercedes Lewis. But as we start hour number three, we are joined right now by a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is host of the Yogi Roth Show podcast, co-host and executive producer of All American Stories. It premieres on the CW tonight at 8 p.m. He is a very good friend of the program. He does hold the distinction of being the first in-studio guest on CBS Sports Network and the only man who gets his own custom greeting on this show. He is Yogi Roth. Yogi, the national championship game is tonight. Your new show premieres tonight. I have to ask you, how great is ball, Yogi?
Oh, it's so good, man. And it's a really fun day, right, for college football. We didn't know if we'd get here for me and this show. I don't know. I knew I'd get here. I just didn't know it would take 15 years to create a show like this, but that's what it took. So to celebrate it and talk to you for a few minutes, man, I'm honored as usual.
It's awesome. Yogi, I'll get to you and talk to you about the show. I'm really curious about how that came to be and your feeling about it coming in. But first, what about the game itself tonight? We have the national championship game. If you were to go back to the semifinal matchup between Ohio State and Clemson, watching Justin Fields, and you've known him for a while, what kind of thoughts did you have watching him in that game?
Well, he's a gamer, man. I mean, I noticed it from jump. I can remember being on Nike's campus at the Elite 11. Him and Trevor Lawrence were the same class, obviously. And what I like to do after, I always like opening up with a speech, and then I go and kind of work in the shadows, and I peer over guys' shoulders. How are they taking notes? Are they dialed in? And you'd be shocked, but, you know, sometimes when you have the top 20 quarterbacks in the country, some are doodling. Some are too cool for school. Justin Fields was as dialed in as any quarterback I've been around in my 13 years doing Elite 11. And I'd say the same for Trevor. But you could just tell from the beginning the type of competitor he was. He was the same way when he competed at the Elite 11, you know, when he became the MVP of it. And to me, performed as well as you could in shorts and a T-shirt. So you knew he bounced back after last year's performance. And I thought he would do it in the way that we saw, especially after he got hurt. I mean, there was no quit in him, right? I know that's like a traditionally, you know, sports phrase, but that's who this young man is. He's got true grit, which is passion and perseverance, right? If you're going to go to Angela Duckworth and the general definition of it, that's what he is. And what I love is that it's rubbed off on his teammates in a year where none of us would have batted an eye if he opted out. None of us would have batted an eye if he said, okay, the season's postponed, but he took a leadership role off the field, on the field, and of course in the semifinal game as you referenced.
We were talking to Yogi Roth. I'm a big fan of Angela Duckworth and her writings and what she says about grit, and that was a great example of that. He was so, so tough, and I'm anxious to see how he looks tonight. Yogi, what about Alabama? When you look at where Alabama's offense is now versus where Nick Saban's offense was 5 years ago, what jumps out to you the most?
Well, I kind of chuckle because I just think back to when I was coaching at USC, and when we coach, and that was, of course, when Steve Sarkisian was calling plays. You know, him and Lane were the architects of that offense. And we would joke in the staff rooms late at night, like, okay, it's like a video game. Don't screw it up. Like, don't get too cute because you have so much talent everywhere. And that's who this team is on offense. I mean, they're absolutely insane to me. It's probably, I think overall our team at SC was a better team because the defense was so elite with Cushing and all those guys. But offensively, it might be the best offense I've ever been around. You know, it's definitely in that conversation with the Reggie, Matt, you know, that era, Lendale White, of offense. I think those are the top two offenses I've seen in my 20-plus years now in college football. And it's because how they run the ball, it's how they move their tight ends or their receivers in motion. I mean, Sark is not just having Mac Jones play catch. He's playing quarterback. It is based in the West Coast, but it's got all these spread principles. It's got different tempos, obviously play action pass. It just stresses you, and he's got answers to everything. And to me, Sark is not only deserving of, you know, obviously the promotion he's getting going to Texas, but being the top assistant coach in the country this year because of the way that he's called the game. It wasn't as though, hey, we've got elite athletes, let's just throw it around all day. It's, no, let's be really measured about this and very systematic. And I think for Ohio State, they're going to have to play perfect on offense because I don't see them slowing down what I consider the best offense in the country.
Yogi Roth is joining us. We're talking about the championship game tonight. He's got a brand new TV show, which is dropping as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yogi, I was going to say, what about Ohio State? For instance, if you were giving them advice, what is the number one key for them heading into tonight?
Well, I think you just got to be resilient and not try too hard. I mean, that's what I think every coach should say to their team. You know, you're on a huge stage. I remember, you know, being on staffs in those stages or talking to coaches who have, you know, been head coaches in national championship games. And the biggest thing you have to tell your team, and I'm sure they all said it last night, was don't lie in bed imagining yourself making the game-winning play or doing something Herculean. Just play your game. Right. So if you're Wyatt Davis, to me, one of the best offensive linemen in the country, he's an interior lineman for Ohio State. Just do what you would normally do, you know, when you're going to step on a zone block. You know, if you're their defense and, you know, Alabama completes, you know, a long explosive play. Okay. Next snap. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Don't get over your skis. Don't get overconfident. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Like the coaching phrase that gets thrown around at every level is, quote, don't be a hero. You know, don't be a hero. Don't try to do anything outside of what earned you the opportunity to compete in the biggest stage in college football. And that's going to be hard, right? It's easy to say, but you dream about making the game-winning play and being Tua and making the game-winning throw or being Trevor Lawrence when he was a freshman. But you can't. And that, to me, especially when you're down, at least perceptually, Ohio State not obviously picked to win this game, that's where you have to fight. And I think that's early on in the ball game, just surviving. Like the first – you know, three drives, can you just make sure that, you know, all the excitement that's within the game, like, you know, see what the environment is going to be like. It'll be a little different than anything anybody's played in this year regarding fans, et cetera. Just taking a breath and saying, okay, we're good. And that will be a challenge, but Ohio State's got some veteran leadership there. So I expect them to meet that moment and give Alabama the toughest test they've had all season.
I think so, too. Ohio State, Alabama this evening. Yogi Roth breaking it down. So, Yogi, the new show is All-American Stories, and it premieres this evening at 8 p.m. on The CW. In it, you're telling the stories of athletes who have overcome incredible odds to maximize their potential. As you've tweeted, it's something that you would hope would come about for the better part of a decade and a half. How excited are you that it's finally here and the dream now is becoming a reality?
Yeah, I'm really grateful, man, to be honest. Like, I think timing is something that you don't understand in real time, but you understand it, you know, as you get older, as time goes on, and you know that with being a father and a husband and all the things that you do in your personal life. And I feel the same way now. I mean, what I saw last week in this country, I think regardless of whatever line you're on, you'd say, yeah, that was horrific when I'm talking about the nation's capital. And I think that the world needs some inspiration right now, and I think sport provides that dramatically, right? I've always felt like the best quote unquote scripted film is like a football game or a sports game or a story of somebody competing. It doesn't get much better than that. And that's what we have. And I think we have 8 short films that all meet the moment right now in terms of all of us need a little bit of an inspiration. And for me personally, this journey, I've taken this show everywhere and I've heard things that I'm sure you've heard before, which is, hey, you're not enough big of a celebrity. You don't have a big enough Twitter following or YouTube subscribers. And everybody said no up until the CW. And the CW carries a show called All American, which is based on Spencer Paysinger, who, you know, played at Oregon, played in the NFL. And his story is one that's really powerful. You know, he grew up in East L.A. in Crenshaw and then went to high school in Beverly Hills. And that's what the scripted show is about. And when I sat in front of the CW executives, I gave them the pitch about this show, about telling stories, and they said, I think we have the home for it. Let's call it All American Stories. You go tell 8 of the best stories you can with your production team, go to town on it, and then after they saw the first 2, they said, we need to put it on primetime TV. So it was like the ultimate example of we got in the door, and then we did the work when we got there. And that's been my life as a walk-on, right? It was, give me one rep, coach, and then I make a play. Hey, I earned another one and another one, even as a broadcaster. So it's very comforting in terms of the environment and the competitive nature that was necessary for me to, you know, push this along the lines. But I learned throughout time that it can't just be me on my laptop. Like, I had such a good team, man, when I'm talking about, like, the people that pieced it together, the CW, obviously Spencer, our production team, the head of it, you'd love him. His name's Taylor Cavanaugh. He's a walk-on wide receiver at Oregon State, just like me, who got a scholarship. So our mindset and mentality is very much aligned, and now we get to go tell stories that I think will blow your mind. I think you'll sit back with your kids, wherever you're watching this. And tonight, just set it on DVR. I'm not going to try to compete against the national championship. But when you watch it, I think it'll make you a better person. It'll make you get off the couch and be better at whatever you're doing. And that was the only task that we had from the CW. They said, get people off their couch and offer some inspiration. And if there's anything I've tried to do in my whole life is do that around sport and humanity. And I think this series meets that moment.
Yogi Roth is joining us. I'm proud of you, man. I love that. I love everything you just said. I love everything about the process. And you know this as well as anybody, because as you point out, this is not just about a TV show or even a message. I mean, you've spent your entire life doing this. It's not how many no's that you get. It's how many yeses you get. And all it takes is that one big yes. And you got to keep coming back. You got to keep fighting back. Let me ask you this. As somebody who's always looking to learn and grow, how much of these interviews and this process and this project, how much of it has inspired you on a personal level?
Dramatically, man. So there's a woman tonight you're going to learn about. Her name's Scout Bassett, and she's from San Diego. That's where she resides. But when she was 6 months old, she was burned in a fire and lost her leg. And then her parents dropped her off on the front step of an orphanage in China. And she never saw sunlight. She never saw a book. She never saw a TV show until she was 8 years old, when she was fostered to come to America. Now, mind you, with that being said, when she was in this orphanage, she was abused. Nobody built her a prosthetic. She built it herself out of a leather belt, nuts and bolts, and masking tape. Talk about grit. She came to America at 22 pounds at 8 years old, and then got her first running prosthetic at 14. And in her first race, which she came in dead last in, she said, I felt like the shackles of my life came off me. Now she's the fastest woman in America to ever run in the Paralympic Games in the 100-meter dash. But as I sat across from her, it was the same exact day that I was told that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten season were canceled. And I sat there saying, how am I going to feed my family? Like, what is my future? I remember having those thoughts in between interviews. And when I sat across from her, she looked me straight in the eye and she said, Yogi, quote, all you got is all you need. And when Scout Bassett told me that, someone who lost her leg in a fire at 6 months old, was dropped off on the front step of an orphanage by her parents, and then went back to China as an adult and forgave everybody for everything they did to her as a kid, I said, okay, I'm going to be just fine. So I had moments like that in every interview where, you know, in this country, some of us may not be that proud of some of the actions that happen in America, but when you hear these stories about these individuals in America through sport, to me, I felt so energized, so proud to be here, to be a part of this country, be a part of the sports fabric of this country. And Scout is just one of, you know, eight other examples that we were able to hopefully shine a little bit of a light on.
Yogi, all you got is all you need. How good is that? That is great. Yeah. I love that. He is Yogi Roth. He is a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He's got a brand new show. This has been a passion project that he has been chasing for the better part of 15 years. He is the co-host and the EP of All American Stories. It premieres on the CW tonight at 8 p.m. You've got a national championship game as well. Yogi, congrats on that. I am really anxious to see it. And I know you and I will talk again soon, my brother. Great job.
Thanks, bro. Happy New Year. Stay safe.
Happy New Year. Stay safe. And I know it's a big night for you. Congrats. Very happy for him. 1-800-636-8686. Yo, Adam Hawk, check that out. Like that power surgery just had, the monitors are now down. Okay. So, what? Yogi, good for him. I'm proud of him. That's great. Great, great project. So, we had Jonathan Jones. That right there is Yogi. Mercedes Lewis will be joining me at 40 past. Still ahead, I've got thoughts on some of the matchups from over the weekend that we have not yet gotten to, including the Bears and how they showed up or did not show up. Man, Bears fan was so pissed. Bears fan was so angry when I went on the NFL Today on CBS. I said, you know what? We can't take away the fact that you're here, but somebody should. And you get all bent out of shape. And I'm like, look, man, it's not personal. I'm just saying. Instead of being angry, next time, listen to me. I thought the Rams, obviously, defensively, have a Super Bowl. Not only a Super Bowl caliber defense, that's a defense that will win you a Super Bowl. You don't need superstar play a quarterback, but you do need play a quarterback. I thought Jared Goff showed a lot of grit in coming in and managing that game the way he did. And there are all sorts of outlets that are reporting that Doug Peterson has been fired as Eagles head coach. ESPN's got it. Tom Pelissero's got it. It's there. You imagine that guy wins a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. You win a Super Bowl with the Eagles, it would stand to reason that not only are you unfireable, you're unfireable and you never buy a drink, you never buy a meal, you can do whatever the hell you want for as long as you want in that town if you lead that team to a Super Bowl. And not only lead that team to a Super Bowl, but win it the way he did, man. Like, all heart, no fear. Fired. What a mess. All right, when we come back, one open segment for you. 1-800-636-8686 and Mercedes Lewis coming up at 40 past. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a...
The ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. Doug Peterson, fired by Philadelphia. All right, so we're talking about a guy that won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, right? A Super Bowl 3 years ago. Wouldn't that guarantee you, I don't know, 20 more years? If you won a Super Bowl in that town, would that not guarantee you 20 more years? Would that not guarantee you the right to stay as long as the hell you wanted? Would that not guarantee you a blank check? He won Philadelphia. The Eagles won a Super Bowl. And he's gone. I mean, that is an all-time fall from grace. I understand that everything's changing now and that head coaches get, in some cases, only 1 year. That first-round draft picks, in some cases, you know, get traded after 1 year. But, man, that's amazing. That guy, that allegedly brilliant play caller, wins a Super Bowl and is gone within 3 years. I mean, that's an all-time fall from grace. You know, the bottom line is, clearly ownership had to ask itself, man, we got all hell breaking loose. I've got a former franchise quarterback that we gave an enormous contract to who wants out. And there's irreconcilable differences. It's irreparable. We got issues. We have issues. We know this. And there were issues in his own locker room where at the end of the season when they tanked that game, there were players openly saying afterwards they were upset about that. So they've got problems. Ownership has to ask itself, can this guy fix it? Is this still the right guy to turn things around? And clearly, they decided that he wasn't. And by the way, it's kind of hard to disagree with that, right? I mean, there was very little going right, and there was a lot of really weird things going on. Even from the outside looking in, you could see that. So, very little going right, a lot going wrong, and this guy's gone after only 3 years. 3 years after winning a Super Bowl. 3 years after winning with Nick Foles. I mean, how does that not get that guy 20 more years? But it didn't. 3 years after people were in the streets eating horse crap sandwiches. Gone. Meantime, some other reaction. Dear Rome, when did you guys decide to stop playing the breaking news sounder? I'm pretty sure Yogi Roth just broke some serious news, but I did not hear that sounder. There's a college football national title game tonight? What? How? I don't even remember there being a season. No one does. Signed, Vincent, off the 10 freeway near the San Gabriel Valley. Yeah, Vincent, I heard you the first time. Stop doing you, Vincent. This one starts off with, hi, Jim. What a treat Saturday night was. Not only did I get to see my Tampa Bay win, but then I find out Jack Del Rio is coaching the WFT. WTF. Nobody told me. It was eye candy all night long. Signed, Sarah T.
Jim, today is Tom Brady's senior's birthday. I mean, can you imagine siring Tom Brady? God bless you, Mr. Brady. Your sperm is mighty. You know what? Speaking of Tom Brady, Jim, Jim, I'd do things to him that you wouldn't do to a barnyard animal.
Thirsty much, Sarah? I love Sarah saying, can you imagine siring Tom Brady? That actually is a great line. Could you imagine siring Tom Brady? We have these discussions all the time in thoroughbred racing because it is, quote, mating season, breeding season. I was once back in Kentucky when we tried to find a sire for our mare. And I was at one of the major legendary farms. And they said, hey, you want to see how this goes down? I said, no. No. They said, do you want to come to the breeding barn? I said, no. I don't need to see that. Just show me the numbers. Let me look at the analytics. Yeah. Hey, Ambi. They've got this, like, shed. It's like a padded shed. Yeah. These stallions. It's not a figure of speech. They're known as stallions. Horses that breed are stallions. So you take, this is why, quick lesson on thoroughbred on the business. The real money is not in racing. The real money is in breeding. You can make a lot of money if you win a lot of big races, but the real money is on the back end. It's in breeding. For instance, it depends on the horse. You know, you can breed a horse for $3,000, $1,500, but the very best horses are bred, believe it or not, for the high six figures, $300,000 a throw. And what these horses, if you do the math, they can breed up to 150 times in a breeding season. So imagine a horse that's worth 150 grand per trick, per breeding right. And then they do it in different hemispheres. So then they'll go across the world and do it another 150 times. It's pretty amazing, actually. So I always laugh whenever I hear that soundbite from Sarah saying, imagine being the one to sire Tom Brady. Good one, Sarah. Thirsty much, Sarah? What, no credit for the one who sired Jack Del Rio? James Rome III, waiting for a table at Mr. Chow. Should have just slept the maitre d', or slipped the maitre d' a couple of C notes. Signed Beauregard at Pacific Palisades. Hey, Beauregard, you think you're telling me something I don't already know? Beauregard, of course I already did that. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point. You do that just to, like, be allowed through the door. That will not get you a table at a restaurant like that. Believe me, you have to be Robert De Niro. Hey, thanks. A great idea, Beauregard. Thank you very much, Beauregard. Why didn't I think of that? Slip the maitre d' a couple of C notes. You'll get what you want. Must be nice to be you, Beauregard. Hey, Romy. Did that local Cleveland news anchor fall down while stomping grapes after name-checking you? Signed, Ashley in Nebraska. Oh, oh. Did that hurt?
Oh, I can't breathe. Stop.
Is she in pain?
Oh, dear.
Boy, I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, well, I think she's dead.
She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Boy, gosh, I hope she's okay.
And does it sound like she's okay?
Also showing his support.
Oh, dear. I think she got hit by an 18-wheeler and dragged. Hey, Ashley. Keep it up, Ashley. War Lady Clones. Her
War
hit
Lady
rate's
Clones.
Good. Ashley in Nebraska gets in at least once a day. She's good. Romy, please stay, Baker. We really need you. Regards, Cleveland D-listers. You know, I've always had your backseat, Town, but I did say that if LeBron were on the fence the first time around, if he were on the fence and one of his guys came to him and said, hey, Bron, have you made up your mind yet? No, man, I just don't know what to do. I mean, I love being where I am, but man, I don't know if I can win where I am. Well, maybe this will help you. Watch this. Oh, hell no. Call Jim Gray. Let's put that thing together, man. We are out of here. Bunch of D-listers begging and singing, please stay, LeBron. Notice I never did that.
Please.
You losers had best not go back in the studio and start with any crap about, please stay, Baker. We really need you. He'll be on the next thing smoking out of town, and so will I. You losers, stay down. When we return, why don't we talk about a team that had a bye? It's going to really help this time of year. You know it is. The Chiefs and the Packers both. Mercedes Lewis joins me on the other side of this. First up, though, if you're wondering what's going on, you're about to... We do the ATP several times a week, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ask the pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right. Goes without saying, I am pumped to have this conversation. He is a tight end with the Green Bay Packers. He is a Pro Bowler. He is just the seventh tight end in NFL history with 400-plus receptions and 200-plus games played. A John Mackey Award winner. He was an All-American and an All-Conference player at UCLA. He was an All-American at Long Beach Poly. He was the 28th pick overall back in 06. Co-host of Uninterrupted's The Thread. And there's a big one. Rams at Packers on Saturday. Mercedes Lewis is my guest. Mercedes, great to have you back. Listen, before we talk football and the upcoming game against the Rams, how are you doing? How is life going for you right now?
How you doing, boss? Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Staying out the way, navigating through the tight spots, not going outside unless I have to. but everything is good. I'm healthy. My family's well. So, you know, you can't ask for more than that.
My man, what a great response. I appreciate that so much. That is a great response. Now, you're coming out that bye week over the weekend. I'm curious, how valuable is it to get that kind of rest at this point of the year? And how did you approach your time off?
Well, I think, you know, for us it was important because our original bye, the first bye that we had was like after week four. You know, after week four, you don't really need it. You know, normally it's better to have it, you know, after you play 8 to 9 games. But unfortunately, it was after week four. And so, you know, it came at a really good time. Get some guys healthy, get some guys back. You know, going into the playoffs, that's big. You know, being able to play your way and earn that bye in advance in the playoffs. So, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity and we're looking forward to doing it with good health.
Mercedes Lewis is joining us. You know, I talked to Aaron Rodgers a few weeks back, and there's been so much made about how mindful he is right now. Last month, I thought you had a great tweet. You wrote, live consciously each day. Have to avoid sleepwalking through life. Your life is something to be experienced, not coasted through. I mean, it seems kind of self-evident, but what did you mean by that? And then how do you take that approach as you move through the postseason? And what types of things are you thinking about right now?
Well, I think it's easy to get lost in the monotony of, you know, playing in the NFL. Every day is structured. You're doing the same stuff every day. And you're always trying to look for ways to get away from it, right, and try to break that monotony a little bit. And I think, you know, for me, I do a lot of self-reflecting. And it's important to, you know, just understand that this is a privilege, you know, to be in our position doing what we're, you know, what we're here to do, and to not take it for granted. You know, I came from a losing organization in Jacksonville. We didn't win much. And so it's easy to take winning for granted, right? And so I think part of my job is being the leader and, you know, not only playing well, but at the same time is just rubbing off on the young guys in a way that they understand that, hey, man, this is not, you know, this is not a given, and it's so hard to win games in this league. And, you know, as you know, the margin for error is very small in the NFL. So always be mindful, have gratitude. With me, you know, every day when I wake up, I kind of, you know, think about, you know, the energy that I want to put into the universe before I walk out of my house, you know. So definitely blessed to be in this position and, you know, not taking anything for granted.
That is gold to me, that when you wake up in the morning, you think about what kind of energy you want to put out into the universe. So let me turn that thing on its head. What kind of energy do you want to put out into the universe, and how do you approach it?
Always living like you're on a one-day contract, meaning that if I'm not giving, you know, my personal best or whatever it is that I'm doing in that day, I can't renew my contract for the next day. So every day is about making sure that, you know, your world is in order, you're treating people with respect, and whatever that, you know, you're putting out there, you expect to, you know, expect them to get it back. So just positive energy, man.
Mercedes Lewis is joining us. I love that, too. Now, you mentioned you want to have this kind of impact on some of the younger players. I'll give you an example. Aaron Jones said this of you, quote, he brings that dog mentality, the nastiness, something you need. He's a true leader and a true veteran. When we run out on the field for warmups, we're all in the huddle, and it's either him or A-Rod talking. And when Big Dog speaks, everybody listens. I'm kind of curious about that dog mentality. Like, does that come from where you're from and how you came up, or can you cultivate that? Can you learn to have a dog mentality?
I think that, you know, in some way, shape, or form, you can learn it, but it takes really good leadership to kind of rub off in that way. Obviously, I was born on the east side of Long Beach, and, you know, I had to take the stairs to get where I'm at right now, and you know, obviously playing 12 years in Jacksonville, that built a lot of gristle on my bones. A lot of the games that we were playing in Jacksonville we weren't playing for championships or playing to get into the playoffs. So it's really just your pride and your brand of football, you know, your legacy, what you want to be known as. I can guarantee you that regardless of whether we were winning games or not in Jacksonville, when you turned on the film, you knew what 89 was going to be, what I was going to be doing, and what type of energy I was going to be putting into my job and how much it meant to me. So I think that's what, you know, Aaron Jones is talking about. And, you know, obviously that's just who I am naturally. And it's a blessing that, you know, the other guys can feel that way.
You know, I know exactly where you're from, and I know exactly what high school you went to, because I've mentioned probably to you in the past, Mercedes, I married a gal who went to Long Beach Poly. My wife, Janet, is the best person I've ever known. I married her, and she's got that Long Beach grit, yeah. Man. She's tough. She's proud, and so is her family. But they're sweet, really, really sweet. Now, a lot of your work ethic also comes from back in the day. Your grandmother, Florence, used to say, keep working because life is fair if you keep working. So what kind of an impact did she have on you, and how much of that belief has become part of who you are?
Well, really, you know, it was just about, you know, growing up. My mom had me, she was 15 years old. We bounced around a lot, and, you know, for a long time, we were living with my granny for at least 3 years. And, you know, thing that I took, you know, from my grandma the most was just, you know, keep working, life is fair. Nobody cares about your excuses. Nobody cares if you're sick, if you're hurt. You have to push your own weight and, you know, provide your own opportunities and make sure that, you know, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing to give yourself a chance. And, you know, I've never been a victim blamer. I've always been ahead of the curve and always, you know, I put more pressure on myself to do well. So, and that always worked for me.
Mercedes Lewis joining me for a few more moments. You know, Aaron Rodgers also, it's not just the young guys, but Aaron himself talks about how much he respects and appreciates you. Let me ask you this. When you look at him, how much of yourself do you see in him in terms of work ethic, desire to be great, focus, and so on?
Excuse me. I think that, you know, you hit it right on the nose. I think that Aaron and I are, that's why we become so close. And it was more so the things that aren't said, right? I think it was more so the respect of how we approach the game and how we work. We're both not rah-rah guys. We like to lead by example. So just that in itself kind of put us on the track to where we are now. And then, you know, being in that huddle, we know what we expect from each other. We know what we expect from our teammates. And we make sure that we're bringing it not just in the film room and on the practice field, but on game day. So, you know, he makes it easy. You know, the gold in my eyes. I'm proud of him and the way he's able to perform, regardless of the scrutiny, regardless of what the circumstances may be, drafting a rookie quarterback in the first round, all of that. It hasn't mattered because he owns his process. And I think that's what it really comes down to.
Let's see. You've got the Rams and Packers on Saturday. It's a short week in that regard, even though you're coming off the bye. It's early in the week, but I know you're thinking about this, and I know you've got your own process. What kind of thoughts do you have about the Rams when you look at them on film, and what's the biggest focus for the week for you?
I mean, I just feel like the Rams coming in, their defense, dynamic. Dynamic defense. They play together. They play fast. They're physical, technically sound. and that's how we are on offense. So it's going to be a battle, and we're looking forward to it. You know, I put my money on us. You know, we faced good defenses so far this year, and we've been able to do our thing. And this is going to be another opportunity to go out there and display our brand.
I know you're always going to bet on you. He's a tight end for the Green Bay Packers. He's a Pro Bowler. I ran down all those numbers. Co-host of Uninterrupted's The Threat as well. Rams at Packers on Saturday. Mercedes Lewis, my guest. Mercedes, I appreciate you making time for me and for the show and for our listeners. Really good to have you back. Have a great week and good luck this weekend.
I appreciate that, boss. Thank you.
Much respect. Much respect. He is a stud. When you have guys like Aaron Jones say things like that, like Aaron Jones, I have tremendous respect for. And Aaron Jones is saying things like, man, I look up to that man so much. I respect that guy so much. He is so physical. He's a true leader. He is an absolute dog. We all feed off that. And then when you have Mercedes saying things like, I wake up and I'm concerned about the energy that I'm putting out in the world. What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is I want to be positive and I'm going to live my life on a one-day contract. On a one-day contract. Like, I got to get that contract renewed every single day. That is gold. I love that. I love that matchup, too. Packers, Rams. Aaron Donald got hurt during that game. Man, you hear some of the commentary. Troy Aikman was saying during that game that he's like, I've gone up against some of the best. I've gone up against some of the best in this game. He said Aaron Donald literally is the best I've ever seen. Amazing player. So we'll see about that matchup. And Mercedes right there, I had great respect for that Rams defense. That is a Super Bowl. Again, not a Super Bowl caliber defense. That's a Super Bowl winning defense. But they're going up against the top seed. And the Packers are dialed in, and they're loaded, and they've got some weapons now. Like, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is a lock for the MVP. No matter what, he should win it. But it's not necessarily accurate or fair to say he's got no help around him. He's got some weapons now. He's got some guys who can make some plays, for sure. And he's got an extremely physical tight end in Mercedes Lewis. It's not too late for you to get through. We're going to wrap this thing. Also, I do owe you an ATP. Rome. I lived on Grand Avenue in 1990. I listened to you since your days on 690. I love your San Diego stories. Rockies or Cass Street? Chuck Martin in San Diego. That's a great question, right? Totally different places. Totally different places. But when I lived, Chuck, when I lived in PB, I would hit both those places depending on what I needed. Remember, I lived across the street from Rockies. So if I wanted to get a cheeseburger, I would go there. If I wanted to go salad, believe it or not, I'd go to Cass Street for salad. Eric Musselman and I went to Cass Street back in the day. Because E. Muss had San Diego roots. E. Muss played basketball at the University of San Diego. So he would come back in the summertime. So E. Muss and I had a couple of pops at Cass Street. So the answer is Rockies or Cass Street? The answer is yes. Jimmo's, have the police ever been to your house for any reason? Good question. Let me think. Have the cops ever? Yes. Yes. The alarm goes off.
The police have themselves an RV.
And it's always bad, too. It's like, ah. We had issues at one of our houses with the alarm, you know, whether it was the wind or whatever. We just had issues, and they just come on by, and it'd always be like, yeah, nothing going on. Just the alarm, just the alarm. I'm going to be like, we're going to be like the ultimate family that cried woof. One day we're going to need them, and they're not coming around. It's like, there's an alarm going off. Yeah, dispatch, who is it? Rome. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's nothing. Don't you think maybe you better swing on over there? Yeah, we have 30 times already. It's their alarm. No, there's nothing there. Trust me. No, they did not come by when I came out of my own garage and slammed into my wife's car. I did not have to file the police report, the official police report in the intersection, because the actual intersection was my driveway. And it did not involve another person, but it did involve another car, which I own. I own both cars. I got into a two-car wreck involving one person and dual ownership. I did not call that one in. Now we're done.
Now I'm done.
It's a good way to start the week. My thanks to Mercedes Lewis, Yogi Roth, Jonathan Jones. Got more ball tonight. College football playoff championship game is this evening. Break that down for you tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. Y'all have a great day. See you then. We're out.